to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Brian Wilson, Mary Walter in as the guest host this morning. And joining us on the line is Jake Tapper, anchor of The Lead and State of the Union over at CNN. I have a couple of notes here about Jake. He's a busy boy, going to be the commencement speaker at Dartmouth this year. Last night he was on Stephen Colbert. And, of course, they had that big Cruz versus Sander debate that we carried here on WML. Good morning to you, Jake.
Good morning to you. Wasn't that debate great? I thought Sanders and Cruz were just...
It was some good stuff. And you guys had good numbers on that. A lot of people were interested to watch and see how it went.
An hour and a half of debate on healthcare policy.
Yeah.
And people loved it. So very reassuring.
You guys, I guess you'll be doing some more stuff like that, huh?
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. I mean, people are already in my Twitter feed coming up with great pairings. Like, what about Sass versus Warren? What about Booker versus McConnell? I mean, who knows?
Yeah, well, I actually like that.
Yeah, I do too. Listen, I can't help but note that our president, well, you know, he loves his Twitter machine, and whatever comes across his mind, you know, you're going to know about it because he gets on there and tells you about it in 140 characters. I don't want to be too rude here, but I think we have to point out that sometimes he's sort of come after you guys a little bit, and in the New York Times and the Washington Post. So how is it to be on the receiving end of that?
It's interesting. I mean, to be quite honest, I don't think it reflects particularly well on him that he is devoting time to focusing on, for instance, a Chris Cuomo interview that he didn't think Chris brought up something that he should have, that Mr. Trump would have brought up. But, you know, that's his prerogative as an American if he wants to do it. I do think it, if we can dive into his tweets this morning, there's an interesting thing going on. Senator Blumenthal came out and said after meeting with President Trump's Supreme Court Justice nominee Neil Gorsuch, said that Gorsuch had said that it was disheartening when President Trump attacked the judiciary. And that was confirmed more or less by Gorsuch spokespeople saying that he said he didn't want to get into specific incidents, but any attack on the judiciary he found disheartening and demoralizing. And so, you know, that is what it is. President Trump on Twitter, on the Twitter machine, as you put it, this morning, attacking Senator Blumenthal for something that happened, I think, 7 years ago. Senator Blumenthal, when he was running for Senate, it came out that he had misrepresented
his military
his service.
Record.
He was in the Marine Reserve. He had been he had been honorably discharged, had served honorably, had retired as sergeant. But there were times when he was a public official that he referred to having been in Vietnam, and he had never actually been in Vietnam. And that came out when he was running for Senate, and he apologized for it and took responsibility. But President Trump said he was misrepresenting what Gorsuch had said and brought up this scandal from 7 years ago, which is interesting. I would say a couple things. One, you know, it is true what he says about Senator Blumenthal, that is, he did misrepresent his service. Two, that said, Senator Blumenthal, you know, was in the Marine Reserves during Vietnam, and President Trump didn't serve during Vietnam in any capacity. And three, I don't know if we want to really open up the Pandora's box.
Go ahead, why not?
Well, I mean, if we're going to get into who has misrepresented more things, between Senator Blumenthal and President Trump. I mean, just empirically, day-to-day basis. It's not even close.
Here's the thing, though, Jake. I look at a survey, and I see that when people are asked, who do you think are more trustworthy, the president or the press, more people believe, according to it's a legitimate survey, believe that the Trump is more believable and truthful than is the press corps. So, you know, you're sort of fighting an uphill battle to some degree, aren't they? Where does that come from? Why do so many people find that they don't trust the news media?
Well, I think there are a couple of reasons for it. First of all, as we know, President Trump has a very devoted base that believes him, that trusts him, that elected him, that turned out in huge numbers for him on Election Day. And that's just undeniable. It's not a majority of the country, but it was enough on Election Day, and it's a big number, and they're devoted. So you can't take that away from him. Two, lack of trust in media is a complicated subject. Some of it the media brings on itself through various acts of bias, mistakes, et cetera. Some of it is there has been an effort by Democrats and Republicans to discredit the media for any time the media covers something that they don't like. A lot of people might not remember the war that President Clinton waged on the media, or the war that President Obama at times waged on the media. Now, you can't compare it at all to what President Trump's doing, but my point is just there have been strong efforts on the left and the right to undermine and discredit the media, and that shows up in polls. Mm. It's a bipartisan hate affair. People don't like the media. That said, people, you know, it's like Congress. Congress has really low approval ratings, but people like their congressmen, and they reelect their congressmen. People tend to distrust the media, but they like the outlets that they tune into, whether it's, you know, right, Mornings on the Mall or CNN or whatever. So it's a little bit more complicated than that. But sure, I mean, that the public opinion polls, the poll you're citing, I believe it's an Emerson poll,
yes.
And there are, I think there are some questions about the methodology, but let's just assume that it's true. That doesn't change facts. It doesn't change the truth. And the truth is that, for instance, when President Trump said that the murder rate is the highest it's been in 47 years, that's not true. It's just empirically false. So whatever people think about the media, that stands as a falsehood.
Right. So very quickly about this, we don't have a lot of time left here, but is there anything that the media can do, though, I guess, to walk back some of that mistrust or untrust, lack of trust that people have with the media, and maybe build a bigger tent instead of just drawing the same people to that bubble?
Well, I think it's a great point. Again, I think the bigger issue is that the White House is trying to discredit the media so that nothing we say about him when we try to hold him accountable is taken seriously by at least a plurality of this country. But you raise an important issue, which is I think this is a time for the media to rise to the occasion. And we need to be careful what we tweet. We shouldn't be out there acting as if our tweets are irrelevant and people aren't gauging how we view certain issues and whether or not we have a bias. We need to make sure that we double-check and triple-check and quadruple-check the facts before we report stories, especially ones that are, confrontational.
Well, I think fact-checking is something that needs to be done in a lot of places
yes.
right now. All right, Jake, listen, we got to leave it right there. It's always a pleasure to have you. Thank you, Jake Tapper from
CNN.
Guys.
Have a good morning.